From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A new study conducted at Boston University has lent greater credibility to the Black Lives Matter movement and to a travel advisory that the NAACP issued for African Americans traveling to the state of Missouri last year. Researchers at Boston University's School of Public Health ranked states in the nation by a racism index that was based on residential segregation and other markers of structural racism, and found that police killings of unarmed African Americans are correlated with that racism index. In other words, the more racist a state, the more likely Black people are to be killed at the hands of police. Such research makes the case that rather than treating police killings of unarmed Black Americans on a case-by-case basis, we have to view them within existing social frameworks. My guest is Aldina Messick. She is the research assistant at the Department of Community Health Sciences at the Boston University School of Public Health and the lead author of the paper, which was just published in the Journal of the National Medical Association. Welcome to the program, Aldina.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. So the paper is, let me actually just read the formal title of it, The Relationship Between Structural Racism and Black-White Disparities and Fatal Police Shootings at the State Level. First, before we get to where you got the data for police killings, let's talk about how you ranked states. What was it that you used to determine your racism index?
Yes. Yeah, so building on prior research, we developed a structural racism index, which considered five components, one of which you had mentioned already. So the first is segregation, and then we looked at incarceration rates. So what is the rate at which African Americans are incarcerated compared to the rate at which whites are incarcerated? And then we looked at gaps in educational attainment, economics, and so that included the poverty status gap, the median annual household income, and then we looked at gaps in employment. So how many African Americans are unemployed compared to how many whites. And like I said, we built this off of prior research that indicated that these were good measures for structural racism, which is defined as the historical, the cultural, and the institutional laws, policies, and practices that disadvantage African Americans and advantage whites.
And so just to briefly look at this list, it's quite instructive. Wisconsin ends up at the top of the state racism index, with Minnesota coming next, then New Jersey, Illinois, Connecticut, New York, then Pennsylvania, then Iowa, then California. It's interesting that a lot of these are northern states, not southern states. So you made this index. Then you looked at data of police killings. Where did you get this data? What time period did it cover?
So the data that we received for the fatal police shootings was from the Mapping Police Violence Project. And so that project was born out of the fact that the federal government doesn't routinely track how many people are shot or killed by police officers each year. They do have a couple of databases, but they have been shown to have a large number of missing cases or a lot of underreporting. And so this project was born out of crowdsourcing different websites using social media and news media and a lot of other sources to compile who was killed, what age, what were the circumstances, what was the race of the victim, were they armed or unarmed, was what police officer or what department was responsible for the killing, and were they ever charged. And so it ended up providing a wealth of data. And so we had it from 2013 to the middle of 2017 is the data that we looked at, and we compared to the structural racism index.
So very recent data, and I think, of course, it's really important for us to get this right. And I, this is scientific research. Now, did you look at whether African Americans were more likely to be killed, unarmed African Americans were more likely to be killed by police in those states, or was it the difference between rates of shootings for Blacks and whites?
So we actually looked at a couple of different numbers. And so we looked at the Black shootings rate, the white shootings rate, and then we looked at armed and unarmed. And like you said, at the end, we actually did look at the rate at which African Americans are killed compared to the rate at which white Americans were killed. And so that's actually where we found the most significant finding. And so what we found was that for every 10-point increase in the structural racism index, there was the Black-white disparity by police shootings increased by 24%, But like you mentioned, in a state like Wisconsin, which had a state racism index about 75, the black to white unarmed shootings rate ratio was about 15. So in that state, African Americans are shot at a rate 15 times higher wow. than white Americans. Unarmed, I should specify.
Yeah. Unarmed, right. And so actually, mm-hmm. I want to clarify my introduction where I said, in other words, the more racist a state, the more likely black people were to be killed at the hands of police. And I should have added compared to white people.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But we did find when we looked at the U.S. overall that African Americans were shot at and killed at a rate 3 times higher than that of white Americans. And then in terms of unarmed police shootings, they were shot at a rate about 4.5 times higher.
Right. So that's just straight up nationwide where, you know, you're not looking at the different geographic differences in racism or the racism index, racial segregation, et cetera. Blacks are just simply more likely to be killed than whites by police, armed and unarmed. Blacks are a significantly smaller percentage of the population, of course, than whites. So then when we look at state by state, essentially what we're finding, what you're finding, is that the more racially segregated a state, the more difference there is between educational outcomes for blacks and whites in a state, the more likely police are to kill unarmed African Americans. That suggests a very strong structural racism framework within which police killings happen then.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's exactly what we found. I think that this moves the conversation forward from thinking about individual cases like Michael Brown or Tamir Rice, and rather thinking about it as a bigger issue of racism in this country and structural racism. And so the interventions that have been suggested, so independent investigations or body cameras, don't seem to go far enough, since they seem to dismiss the responsibility of the rest of society to deal with this problem of structural racism.
So how strong is the correlation? Are there exceptions? You know, is there a state where the, you know, segregation is high, it's high on the racism index, but for some reason the police is not killing disproportionate numbers of African Americans?
Yeah, so that actually wasn't what we found. It seems like since we looked at it on as a state, between each state and on a country level, it seems to be pretty consistent across the board that the structural racism index is a positive predictor of the racial disparity and unarmed police killings. And so what we found was, of those five factors that constructed our structural racism, it seemed that the segregation was the biggest positive predictor. And so in states where African Americans and whites are segregated, there tended to be a bigger difference in the rate at which African Americans are shot and killed by police officers compared to their whites.
We're basically talking about neighborhood segregation, right? So states where whites tend to cluster in neighborhoods and blacks tend to cluster in neighborhoods are states where police, which isn't surprising because police, from personal experience, people know, have anecdotal evidence that the more diverse neighborhood, the more likely police are to patrol that neighborhood, the more heavy-handed they might be, and the more affluent, the whiter a neighborhood. We know from anecdotal evidence that police just tend to police it with a less heavy hand, even if crime rates might be similar. So this sort of confirms that.
Exactly, exactly. And that actually is one of the, exactly what you just stated, is one of the common theories in the social sciences for why African Americans are much more likely to be shot and killed by police officers. So it's called the community violence hypothesis. And it's exactly what you just stated. People say that the reason African Americans are shot more is because they solely and simply are interacting more with police officers, because police officers are often going into those communities, which likely are segregated from the rest of the community, whether it's because of broken windows policies or other policies or profiling, and it's leading to more arrests, more interaction, and almost more opportunities to have fatal encounters with police officers.
Hmm. I mean, this is a sort of thing that one wonders. I mean, I know your research looked more at a correlation, but if one were to try to parse this and make more sense of it, I wonder if it is that segregation drives disproportionate police killing, race-based police killing, or is there an interplay between disproportionate police killing and what's perceived as a safe neighborhood that can then drive segregation?
Yeah, that's an interesting. I mean, I think the relationship could go either way. And I think that's something that we're not really able to distinguish in this cross-sectional, you know, one moment in time type of analysis. But I do think that's a good point. I do wonder which one comes into play first and how structural racism even plays out. Is that why communities are segregated, or are communities segregated first, which leads to higher racial segregation?
The chicken or the egg question.
Yeah, exactly.
There's also the issue of educational outcomes. When neighborhoods are segregated, isn't it more likely that schools are segregated? And when schools are more segregated, the lower performing schools tend to be more correlated with the poorly funded schools, et cetera, which may also be feeding into everything. You have schools that are primarily serving kids of color that are more heavily policed.
Yeah, exactly. I think that plays into it also. I think that there's so many interesting interactions, but all of it is playing into the racial climate of a specific state or a specific neighborhood. And I think that that is actually affecting how a police officer interacts with a suspect, and a Black suspect specifically. And so in those communities, that might be the case. And so for us, when we mentioned educational attainment, we looked at the proportion of Blacks without college degrees compared to a proportion of whites without college degrees. And so that was the proxy measure that we used. But there are different measures of it, too, that show that there clearly are some racial differences in education, which could lead to the structural racism in any given community or neighborhood or state.
Right. And so, of course, the questions that we ask about the causation here is deeply important, because we want to solve this issue of police violence. I mean, we need to solve the issue of police violence overall in general, because American police kill far too many Americans. It's almost, you know, there's very few other countries where you have police forces killing their own people at the rate as we do here in the United States. But the fact that it's also so deeply racially biased is all the more troubling. And so then in the absence of police departments solving the issue themselves, in the absence of now federal government oversight, because under the Trump administration, you know, the DOJ has pulled back very purposefully on overseeing police departments. What are things that cities and states could undertake to try to minimize these racially based police killings? Does your paper give you any indication that you can use to sort of extrapolate and help answer these questions?
So that's a good question. I think that's something that we thought a great deal about, because what we're trying to address with this paper is, what is the underlying cause? It's all over the news media. There's coverage everywhere, from NFL players, from travel advisories, from every other day. It sounds like, you know, one other Black unarmed kid is getting shot by a police officer and killed. But the conversation hasn't really shifted beyond that to understand what is causing it and how can we address it. And so what our paper tells us is that it's not simply just a bad cop or one case of one police officer acting in one way, but rather it's a larger societal problem that we need to address and we need to face. And so for us, I think we also want to evaluate it on a neighborhood level instead of just a state level. Hmm. We initially thought that a state level would be best, especially to assess structural racism, since many racist policies are in fact enacted at a state level. And so we thought that that would be the most interesting. But I think the next step would be to look at it on a city or a neighborhood level and see how structural racism plays out there. And then in terms of what solutions we could think of for this problem. So based on our research, segregation seems to have the most important role in structural racism and predicting the differences or the racial disparity in police shootings of unarmed victims. And so thinking about that, I think that thoughtful reform or policies on a state level which address residential segregation could be really, really useful. And I think the second aspect would be policies to address the economic disparity and employment, and employment participation would be really, really useful.
Aldina, has such research been done before? How unprecedented is your paper?
So in the public health literature, very little research has actually looked at this issue from a public health lens. Most of the work that has been done around police shootings, and especially fatal police shootings, has been in criminology or sociology. And most of those have not really taken a public health approach to think of this as a huge public health problem in which thousands of people are dying at the hands of police officers. And so it really is the first of its kind where we've been able to measure the structural racism on a state and compare it to how many people are dying at the hands of police officers and how that interaction works.
I'm also wondering how the residential segregation and the things that people of color, in particular African Americans, experience themselves, you know, informs their worldview, obviously, and how the fact that it's based on these police killings seem to be so strongly correlated with racial segregation also helps to explain why so many white Americans simply don't believe there's a problem. So when folks say Black Lives Matter, they're trying to bring up the fact that to police, Black lives seem to not matter. To society, Black lives seem to matter less, whereas white Americans might think, well, all lives matter.
Exactly.
So does your research sort of, you know, lend more credibility to the claims that the Black Lives Matter movement is making?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I do believe that it does. I think that if anything, our research further acknowledges the fact that our brutal racial history has influenced today's happenings. And so in some ways, I think that we often think that we're in this post-racial era, you know, we had a Black president, things are different. People don't think that they relate to racism on an interpersonal level, which is what we think of as racism. But we don't realize that, you know, the 250 years of slavery and the 90 years of Jim Crow laws and the decades of racist housing policies are still playing out in the day-to-day. And that's exactly what we're witnessing when it comes to fatal encounters with police officers. And I think that in some ways it does definitely give credit to that movement to say that it's not just one police officer or one case. Instead, it is a whole structural issue in our country which we need to address and which has not improved over the years. If anything, it just manifested to a different type of racism. And so I think that really does validate it. But I also think, on the other hand, this doesn't say that, you know, police officers are bad and bad apples and they're all racist. I think that that's not what we want the message to be. I think that we want to take the blame away from them in some ways and say that it's not just on the police officers. Instead, it's a racial environment in which they're doing their jobs and the racial policies of their state and of their country that are influencing the way that they're interacting with suspects.
Hmm. So when we bring up the issue of structural racism, it does work both ways. We do have to acknowledge that police operate within a framework where racist societal factors are in play and are functioning, unfortunately, quite well, and so need to be dismantled. Because when we do start dismantling those, racist outcomes in policing would likely be impacted.
Exactly. And that's the hope. I think that that's what we should aim to. And that's how we will progress on this issue. And just generally speaking, as a nation, when we face our structural racism and try to address it in meaningful ways through policies on a state level.
Right. Exactly. So community oversight of policing is one prong in a multi-prong approach to addressing this issue, which the Movement for Black Lives has made very clear. They get their platform is very comprehensive and addresses structural racism. Well, I want to thank you so much, Aldina, for joining us today. I'm assuming your follow-up research will be looking at the neighborhood by neighborhood segregation and how that correlates, whether that correlation of structural racism and policing is maintained at more micro level.
Yeah, I think that that's what we would expect, but we definitely want to do some more research to take a look at it. And yeah, and the other part that we didn't really mention as much was we also, to account for this idea that interaction is the reason that more people are being shot, we controlled for the amount of arrests. And so the correlation still held up. And so it was still a positive predictor, the racism index, to the rate at which African Americans are killed by police officers compared to the white. And so that's something else that we wanted to mention and we want to explore a little bit further to understand how the arrest rate could impact it, how and why this association didn't hold up when it came to armed victims. And so there didn't seem to be a racial difference in the way that that police officers interacted with armed victims.
Right. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and good luck to you with your research.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. That was great.
My guest is Aldina Messick. She is a research assistant at the Department of Community Health Sciences at the Boston University School of Public Health. We've been discussing the paper that she just published in the Journal of the National Medical Association. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.